Amen. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews and chapter number 7. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that song. Amen. I'm glad my name's been written down. Amen. Brother Simi sang that song this morning. He knows my name. We got ladies in the church that sing that song. We play it on the radio as well. Of course, he knew my name before I was ever born. And Jesus said this, though. Jesus said, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven, recorded in heaven. And I'm glad my name is on that book. Amen. Amen. The young lady said to James Black that Sunday morning, she'd missed church on Sunday morning. They went to see about her. She said, "Preacher, I'm not long for this old world." She said, "I wasn't at church this morning when they called the roll. But," she said, "when the roll's called up yonder, I'll be there." And he went home and wrote that great song, 240 in the church hymnal. "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Amen. And I'm glad my name's on that roll. That's what we can rejoice in. Amen. And we can rejoice in that with our family members as well. Amen. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter number 7. We're going to try to start up in verse 20, go through the end of the chapter tonight, and try to finish Hebrews chapter 7, looking at this verse by verse tonight. I'm preaching on this thought, if I gave it a title, Christ, a priest by oath. That's what he's saying about God made an oath and called Christ a priest by that oath. In verse number 20 now, Hebrews chapter 7, we'll read it responsively. "As and insomuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." By the way, you ought to memorize that verse if you haven't. Hebrews 7:25, great verse. Verse 26, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Amen. We'll stop there at the end of verse 28. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless the reading of his word. Brother Matt, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Christ, a priest by oath. He's quoting Psalm 110 and verse number 4. We've looked at it numerous times in the past as we've looked at what he said about Melchizedek. He's actually ending up, this is going to be the last, I believe, in the book of Hebrews, the last in the Bible, that he talks about Melchizedek. But he's dealing with Christ. He's not dealing with Melchizedek. He's dealing with Christ made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is like unto him, and the idea that he had no descent, he didn't have to come from somewhere else. He had no lineage that came after him. He didn't need to turn it over to somebody else. That he was a king and a priest. And it just dawned on me just one day this week, I was thinking about it, that it dawned on me that, you know, there's kings that were prophets, but no king that was a priest. There are priests that were prophets, but no priests that were kings. But Melchizedek was a king and a priest. Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. Amen. But here's what dawned on me was this, that now through him, he hath made us kings and priests. That's what he said. What does that mean? It means we're supposed to be like Him. That's what it means. We're supposed to be like unto Him. That's what Christian means, by the way. Amen. So looking at this, particularly chapter number 7, roughly the first third of the chapter, it'd be verses 1 through 10, deals with the superiority of Christ over Melchizedek, or the superiority of Melchizedek's priesthood over the Aaronic priesthood. That's why she said he compares those two, the Aaronic high priesthood, the Melchizedek high priesthood, and he shows the superiority of Melchizedek's order. And then the second third of the chapter, verses 11 through 19, he deals with the inferiority of the Levitical priesthood because it was carnal, it was flesh, it was made up of men, not the Son of God. All right? And then now, in this final third of the chapter, verses 20 through 28, he deals with the superiority of Christ's priesthood because of the oath that God made unto him as he made him a priest. All right? Now, this third argument is started up in verses 20 through 22. We'll look at these together and notice what it says. It's talking about the superiority of the priesthood of Christ. He is arguing about that superiority from the fact that God spoke an oath. God didn't make an oath many times. God swore in his anger that Israel would not go into the promised land. That unbelieving generation that wandered in the wilderness and died in the wilderness. God swore with an oath. That's when God swore with an oath to Moses. He wasn't going into the promised land when Moses smote the rock when he was supposed to have spoken to it. God swore with an oath to David when he said, your lineage is going to continue and there'll be a king from your lineage that will bless the world. God swore with an oath to Abraham in Genesis 22 after Abraham had offered up Isaac. God swore with an oath that Abraham's descendants would bless, that through that would come, through his lineage would come one that would bless all the nations of the earth. Amen. I'm just saying God didn't swear with an oath many times, but when he did, he meant what he said. It was very solemn and serious what he was saying, and we'll say more about that in just a moment. But he swore with an oath in Psalm 110 verse 4 that he swore that he'd made his son a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's look at the verses, verse 20 through 22. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests, parentheses now, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Now let's read verse 20 and 22 together. Leave out the parentheses. All right. That's why there's parentheses in there. You can leave that. It's really just an explanatory statement in those parentheses. But let's read verse 20 and 22 together. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he, talking about Jesus, was made a priest, verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. All right. So the argument is that the oath that God declared adds dignity and solemnity to the priesthood of Christ above the priesthood of the Levites. It added some dignity and it added solemnity. All right. He said that in verse number 21 in that parentheses, he quotes that Psalm 110 verse 4, the part the Lord swear. Look at that phrase, and will not repent. In other words, God gave his word on it. It's not God swearing in a kind of swearing that's wrong. It's that God gave his word and he has pronounced, I am not going back on my word. The word of God will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not his word. Amen. Brother Moyes has a statement about that that I really like. Brother Moyes says, God will never have to eat his words. Sometimes we say things, we have to eat that. Wish we'd have never said it. God never said anything he'll wish he never said. Amen. And God made that oath. So there's dignity and solemnity. And Christ had that. The priesthood of Christ has that. But the Levitical priesthood lacked that. The argument is simple enough and is carried out throughout the remainder of the chapter. But there's two words I want you to notice in verse number 22. I think we ought to look at. These are the words surety and the word testament. They're not words that we use every day. We use the word testament more. I'll start with that one. First, the word testament is Strong's number 1242. It means properly a disposition, that is specifically a contract, especially a divisory will. So it's like a last will and testament. That's how we would use it in modern day speaking. That particular word, Strong's 1242, is found 33 times in the King James Bible. It's translated covenant 17 times, covenants plural 3 times, and testament 13 times. So it's a covenant. It's a promise. It's a decree. It's a contract that God has sworn himself to. All right. Verse number, or not only, not the next verse. The next word, Strong's, is surety. It's Strong's number 1450. And it means a limb, that's in parentheses, pledged. Then another parentheses, as if and articulated by a member, that is a bondsman. Now what does that mean, a surety? Here, you ever heard somebody say, I'd give my right arm? You know what that's saying? I believe that so strong, I'd be willing to lose my right arm if it's not true. God said Jesus Christ, by the way, sits on his right hand. He's the son of his right hand. God said, what I said is going to happen is going to happen. It's going to happen because I'm not going to give up on my son. All right, so he's the surety. There's the idea of a bondsman there. Also as well, somebody that goes your bond. You know what a bond is? Somebody stands good for you. They say you'll show up. They put money up. They put their name up. And they stand at risk of losing if you don't show up for court or if you don't do what is said that you're going to do. So they're going your bond. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ stood in our place. That's what that means. That's a substitute. When you can't pay the bond, a bondsman pays it for you. Are you following that? I hope all of you ain't been in jail and had to go bond. But you watch enough jail movies, amen, police and all that kind of stuff that you know about that, all right? And you also know that a .45 can shoot 147 times without reloading. Anyway, that's if you believe that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about a bondsman. What's implied here in the text is that the priest of the Old Testament stood in the place of the sinner. And you get the picture. The priest in the Old Testament stood in the place of the sinner. When a man sinned, somebody had to die for that sin. So that man was allowed to bring a lamb or a bullock and offer that lamb or bullock in his place. So the sacrifice was in the place of the man. But the priest was also in the place of the man because the man couldn't even bring his own sacrifice to God because of his sin, because of his unholiness. Are you following me there? So the man couldn't offer the sacrifice, nor could the man offer the priest. God had to supply a sacrifice and a priest. The sacrifice was the substitute for that man dying, and the priest was the substitute for that man offering the sacrifice. So the priest stood in the place as a substitute for the sinner, and the priest is going before God to offer that sacrifice that says, God, I want you to forgive this man's sin. This blood stands in surety for this man. And so the priest was a man that stood in the place of the sinner, all right? They approached God on the behalf of men. These men were mortal and were tainted themselves. But Jesus lives forever. Jesus is sinless. So he is a superior representative for the sinner. Amen. Jesus is the priest of the New Testament that stands in the place of the sinner. Amen. That's why the Bible says that this is a better testament. You see that the last two words of verse number 22. This is a better testament. Now I know some people, Jews, would take offense at that. God is saying that the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. Amen. The Old Testament was not bad, but man was bad. Man, whether the layman or the priest. I said the man couldn't come because he had sinned. Excuse me. So the man had sinned. He brings a lamb or a ram or a bullock, but he cannot bring it himself because he's a sinner. So the priest brings it. But the problem is the priest is a sinner too. He's been representative of God to stand in the representative place. Can I tell you, I'm as human as you are. Amen. I'm not some superhuman. I'm as human as you are. Right? I told them in the prayer room tonight, I told Melissa, we was talking about the storm and the weather, and both of us tired. And no, I won't say we're under the weather. I don't think we're actually sick. We just got all these things. Melissa said, you think we ought to just stay home tonight? I said, yeah, let's just do it and not tell nobody. We just don't show up. She said, are you serious? Which she knew I wasn't serious. I said, no. Amen. But Brother Jacob said, some people might think about that if you did that. Because you'd be surprised how many people don't say a word about why they're out. And the preacher wonders and other people wonder too. Especially when they can be at Lowe's on Monday morning. Especially when they can be at work on Monday morning. Are you following me? Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that, but it's right. So, but I was talking about, I'm as human as you are. Listen, but God has appointed me as the preacher to preach to you, but I'm supposed to live by the same truths that I'm preaching to you. Amen. These priests were appointed, but they weren't perfect. Thank God we've got a perfect priest. Amen. Not only a perfect sacrifice, but a perfect priest to offer that sacrifice. We got a better testament. Amen. Now, that picture, I want you to see it. I want you to get it in your mind. That picture of the sponsor. We'd call it a power of attorney today. Somebody that's taking your place in that particular incident. Now, these Old Testament sacrifices. No, let me go back. I skipped a paragraph on my notes. During the Old Testament dispensation, when Aaron or one of his descendants went into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement, he wore the breastplate with jewels on it that represented all the 12 tribes of Israel. So that high priest went into the Holy of Holies representing every person in the nation of Israel in a human body. And yet, he had to offer sacrifice for himself, is what the Bible said. Matter of fact, it said he needed a sacrifice every day. He represented the entire nation. But Jesus, when he died on Calvary, Jesus carried his own blood to the mercy seat, not wearing a breastplate representing us, wearing a body that represents not just the nation of Israel, hallelujah, but represents every man or mankind, amen. Every single person of mankind. Christ wearing the body of man, thus representing all of mankind when he brings that offering unto God. I'm just being honest with you. I was thinking about this when I was taking my notes. I was saying we're on holy ground and there wouldn't be nothing wrong with us just taking our shoes off. Amen. We ought to think about this as the holiness of God that we're talking about tonight. God in flesh. Bearing his blood to God on the throne in our place. Now these Old Testament sacrifices could never guarantee that the law would not be broken again. Matter of fact, couldn't guarantee that the law wouldn't be broken by that same man. Are you following me? Let's say Logan brings an offering today and the priest offers that offering for Logan. There's no guarantee Logan won't mess up again tomorrow. Are you following me? Amen. Jesus came with his own blood and guaranteed that the law would not be broken, but that the law would be satisfied. Amen. Amen. Not by man, but by the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus fulfilled the law. That's why he's able to say, it is finished. Amen. Fulfilled the law. I remember Brother Mays Jackson said that on that mercy seat, that the mercy seat on earth, the priest would offer the blood, and that every year that altar would cry out to God and it'd say, more, more But he said, when Jesus put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, the altar cried out and said, satisfied, satisfied. I say, amen to that. That's right. Amen. Jesus made his offering. By the way, Jesus himself had never broken the law. The priest, perfect priest, had never broken the law. His blood shed for those who had broken the law. And he offered that sacrifice as a guarantee that the law was unbroken and that his offering was final. Amen. Paul's displaying here to these believing Jews that Judaism has been surpassed by Christianity. Amen. That the New Testament is a better testament than the Old Testament. Amen. Amen. A real Savior is much better than a symbolic representation of a Savior. Amen. Amen. That's what he's saying. No matter how beautiful that representation is, a real Savior is more beautiful. Now look back at verse 21 and the statement, those priests, and notice that those priests were made without an oath. But this is talking about Jesus. So those priests are the Levitical priests. Now, some scholars say, I want you to notice this, but those priests were, that's past tense, made. Some Bible scholars say that the phrase were made indicates that the Levitical priesthood has now ended. They were made, but now this. Amen. Amen. Indicates that the Levitical priesthood had it. Now, when the book of Hebrews is written, the temple is still standing. The priests are still offering sacrifices daily in the temple in Hebrews, when the book of Hebrews was written. But what Paul was saying to these Jews is there's a new dispensation and God has moved on from that. Amen. And you don't need to go back to that. You need to move on from that. There's a new and better dispensation by grace. Amen. Now, the Judaizers and their scribes and Pharisees declared that their Old Testament priesthood was better. They said it's better, but God declared that Christ and his New Testament priesthood is better. Let me ask you something. I can just imagine Paul saying, how dare you say something's better when God said his way's better? How dare you go against a holy God and you declare that your way is better than his way? Amen. I want you to think about this. And I'm going to deviate from my notes a little bit and I'll come back, Lord willing, to it. But I want you to think about this. There's a lot of people that get angry at God for things that happen in their life. And maybe they're bad things. And maybe they need to be angry at somebody. Are you following me? But don't get angry at God. Here's what people say, for example. Well, I just don't believe in God because what kind of a good God could do the things that God does? So you don't believe in God, but you're going to judge God. What kind of fool would try to be a judge of God? Amen. You say, preacher, you shouldn't call him a fool. Well, the Bible said if they said in their heart there's no God, there's a fool. They're a fool. Right. Amen. But this is my point. There's a lot of people that they think, well, you know, God doesn't have a right to judge me, but they have a right to judge God. And they're declaring that right to judge God. Jesus is saying here, or Paul is saying in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is a better way. Don't go back to that old way of life. Amen. Now the following verses deal with the permanence and the perpetuity, the perpetualness of Christ's priesthood and this New Testament dispensation. Look at verses 23 and 24. They go together. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Amen. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now here's what you notice. Under the Old Testament economy, the way things were done, Israel did not have only one priest. They had many priests. Why? Because they were not suffered to continue Aaron was a great, he was a good, I'll say it that way. Aaron was a good high priest. Phinehas was a good high priest. His son, a good high priest. Go on down. They had some good ones, but they die and they had to get another one. And they had many. I read Adam Clark said that from the time of Aaron, according to Jewish historians, from the time of Aaron to the destruction of the temple, that the Jews record 100 high priests. Exactly. 100 high priests. That's many. In other words, they didn't have one that could last. But we've got one that'll last. That's what he's saying. That's the point that he's making there. These men may have been good men, but they were mortal and they died. Therefore, the priesthood was only temporary. They ought to be able to see that. It's only temporary. But listen, if God meant for the priesthood to be forever, wouldn't he have made a priest that would last forever? That's what he's arguing here. So since he made priests out of men that are temporary, obviously the priesthood was temporary because they were mortal and they died. They had to pick another priest. But Jesus lives forever. Therefore, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. That's what it says here in our verse number 24. He has an unchangeable priesthood. By the way, that matches up with what Jesus said of himself. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And then he said, and have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Now, if we could use our imagination, if we could imagine ourselves being a Jew under that Old Testament dispensation, we might imagine that, for example, we might imagine that we've come to know the high priest personally. We have created by some continual familiarity a personal relationship with the high priest. That'd be good. That'd be real good. But then we get news that the high priest has died. All of a sudden that relationship is broken. We hear that his son has been made the high priest, but his son is not the same as him. Again, he may be a good man, but we don't have that same relationship. Are you following me? Wouldn't you say it would be better to have a priest you could have a relationship and that priest will never die? That relationship doesn't ever have to be broken? Amen. He has an unchangeable priesthood. He is a high priest that liveth forever, or he said ever liveth. Amen. Therefore, he has an unchangeable priesthood. And if we have a relationship with Jesus, it will never be broken. Amen. Verse 25. Here's that great verse. Wherefore? He is able also, let me find my place, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. This is a fascinating and glorious verse of scripture that I said ought to be memorized by every child of God. Amen. This verse plainly declares the eternal security of the saved. Amen. We're not saved temporarily. We're saved to the uttermost. Amen. Amen. That's because we don't have a temporary Savior. We don't have a temporary sacrifice. We have an eternal Savior, an eternal sacrifice. Amen. A high priest who is unchangeable. Amen. Amen. We have an eternal high priest. We have an eternal mediator. Brother Simi got on that as he was singing his song this morning. Talked about we have one mediator between God and man. No other priest is our mediator. We have a high priest. Amen. We have a high priest. Amen. And that's a better high priest. A glorious, better high priest. A better covenant. Wouldn't you agree with that? Amen. Amen. If you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are saved forever. Well, what if I mess up? Well, how did you save yourself? If you saved yourself, then you can mess it up. If Jesus saved you, I don't see how you can mess that up. Amen. That's absolutely right. I'm not saying that we can't make a mistake. We can't mess up and get out of fellowship with God, but we don't lose our salvation. Because our salvation is in Him. Amen. Amen. It is in Him. It is forever. I say it again. If you are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved forever. To be saved to the uttermost. That's the phrase that he uses in verse 25. Saved to the uttermost indicates, you can look it up, it means saved to the highest degree. It means saved to perfection. Amen. Amen. By the way, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. It's foreordained that we should walk in those good ways. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible says. I'm talking about saved folks now. Saved folks are saved to perfection. It also carries not only to the highest degree, but for the longest time. That's what it means. Saved to the uttermost for the longest time. I found, this is just a side note, I found it interesting. I mentioned Adam Clark. I've been reading his commentary. He is the official Methodist commentator. And he did not believe in eternal security. But he stated in his commentary on this verse that saved to the uttermost means, and here's his phrase, to be saved evermore. He said it means to be saved, listen to this, through all times. Those are his words. To be saved evermore and to be saved through all times. Now he did go and try to twist that. This is what he said. He said it is the Savior who saves evermore. There's never been another Savior. Well, I agree with that. There never has been. There never will be. Amen. He said it is the Savior that saves through all times. That anybody in the Old Testament had to get saved through Jesus just like anybody in the New Testament. By the way, just like anybody in the tribulation period. There's not three different ways of salvation. Salvation by works in the Old Testament. Salvation by grace through faith in the New Testament. Salvation by works and living and enduring to the end in the tribulation. No, there's not three ways of salvation. There's one. Jesus said, I am the way. Matter of fact, he quotes that. Adam Clark quotes that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But I want you to notice verse number 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. The uttermost is not talking about him. The uttermost is talking about them. We're saved forever. We're saved to the highest degree. We're saved for the longest time. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Eternal security right in your King James Bible, by the way. Amen. Even right in commentators that don't believe it. That's right in their commentary. If they're using the right Bible. Amen. Now notice that Jesus not only has the power and ability to save forever, but he has the power and ability to save forever them that come unto God by him. Who's that? Well, that's whosoever. That's who's in verse 25. Jesus is not only to save certain ones, he's able to save them that come unto God by him. Amen. Amen. He's able to save whosoever. Wouldn't you say that's a better covenant? Amen. Not just a particular nation. Jesus didn't just represent the Jews when he brought the blood to the mercy seat. Jesus represented all mankind when he took his blood to the mercy seat. A better high priest. A better covenant. Amen. Then it's set forth better in these next verses. Verses 26 through 28 go together again. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Amen. Somebody says if you get to the end of forever, then there's more according to God. Amen. There's one place he talks about forever and ever. They said if you ever finished up forever, you'd still have another ever. That's right. Our high priest Jesus is ever living. He is immutable. That means unchangeable. He is infallible. He can't sin. He is endlessly perfect. And we need that kind of a high priest. That's what he's saying. Notice verse 26 talks about our high priest becoming one of us. He became us. He wasn't what we are. but he became what we are. Amen. It means Jesus took the place of all mankind. By the way, not just us Christians. He's not just talking about us Christians. He's talking about us mankind. Amen. He became one of us. He's not like us. He's not feeble. He's not weak. He's not mortal. He's not sinful. He's not guilty. Amen. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's what Paul said. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this. If Jesus was to be a high priest to appear before God on our behalf, he must be holy. He had to be holy. God wouldn't accept anything less. And that word holy, there's two different words used for holy in your New Testament particularly. Two different Greek words used for holy. And I don't know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but one's like hagios and the other's hosios. Hagios means holy, means set apart, dedicated. Like these offering plates are, I've used them before, they are set apart. We don't eat out of them like we do other plates. They're set apart only for the use of taking up the money for the house of God and the things of God. So they're dedicated. But that's not the word used here. It's the word hosios, which means totally pure. Without flaw. Perfectly sinless. Amen. If he's going to be a high priest that goes before God, first of all, he says those other high priests, they had to offer up for their own sins. Jesus never had to offer for his own sins. He never had any sins of his own. He's holy. If he's going to reach down to fallen man, represent us before God, he must be harmless. Amen. That means he's got to care about us. Amen. If he's going to be sanctified or be a sacrifice that is acceptable to the Father, he must be undefiled. In order to reach down to us, he must be above us. Therefore, he is separate from sinners. Amen. Now, the problem of mortal man being a high priest is that they're not always holy. They're not always harmless. They don't always care about what you care about. Amen. They're not always undefiled. They were never truly separate from sinners. I'm not denigrating their character. No doubt they were great men and they took great efforts. I read where that the high priest before the Day of Atonement, those regular priests, if we can use it that way, those regular priests were very careful not to touch a dead body, not to do certain things, not to be contaminated. They wanted to be holy before God. But that high priest took this, that Day of Atonement, because it's only once a year, he took that so serious that for 1 week, this is according to Jewish tradition, for 1 week before the Day of Atonement, he would not even be around anybody in his family. He wanted to be secluded with just him and God. He didn't want to take a chance on being defiled in any way. But yet he is still human. He was still sinful, guilty, inadequate. But thank God we got a Savior who was never defiled. Amen. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Amen. Our high priest is infinitely superior to any fleshly high priest. Amen. He is absolutely innocent and morally perfect. He's made higher than the heavens. That means that he is not only holier and more powerful than man, he is holier and more powerful than the angels. He's above the heavens. Amen. Higher than the heavens. The fact that our priest, look at how it says it there in verse number, let me find it. Verse 26. I'm still in 26. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Not just and higher than the heavens. He was made higher. So he was made higher meant that sometime or another, he was not higher. You know what it was? He was made lower. That he could be made higher. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. It says it right in the beginning of our book. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9. He's quoting a psalm about how God's exalted man. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. for the suffering of death. That's the only reason. He took upon himself a body of man that he could die for a man. That's what he's talking about. Here we see him now crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Amen. Jesus was made a little lower that he might suffer death. That he might die for you and I. Amen. And now he's made higher than the heavens. Amen. Crowned with glory and honor. Amen. This great high priest needeth not daily. See that in verse number 27. Needeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifice. First for his own sins and then for the people's. He doesn't need to offer up sacrifice for his own sins because he has no sins. Amen. By the way, that's the kind of priest we need. Amen. We never need another priest to take his place. Jesus is all we need. Amen. Now, in conclusion, I'm getting ready to have a song and an invitation. Jesus is not just a high priest. He is our great high priest. Amen. I started to say earlier that Aaron was a great high priest, and I checked myself on that. I said he was a good man. Because nobody's great like Jesus is great. Amen. He's the greatest of all times. Amen. Jesus is the great high priest. So I asked the question, have you come to God by him? He said he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Amen. You can never get to God by good works. Amen. You can never get to God by doing good deeds. You can never get to God by keeping the law. You can never get to God by praying to a priest. You got to come through Jesus. Amen. Only through Jesus can we draw nigh to God in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Amen. I say Jesus is greater than any Roman Catholic priest. I read two sermons by Spurgeon on these verses. One was in 1881. The other was in 1886. I read those two this week. And in both of those, I wrote the quotes down. In both of those, Spurgeon rails on, and I don't remember ever hearing him do that. He rails on Roman Catholic priests and Anglican priests. I've got the quote. I could probably pull it up. I don't have it right here on me, but I think I could pull it up in my notes. But here's my thought. Jesus is greater than any Roman Catholic priest. Jesus is greater than any Greek Orthodox priest. Jesus is greater than any Mormon priest. Amen. Jesus is greater than any Church of England Anglican priest. Jesus is greater than any Aaronic or Levitical priest. Because only Jesus can get you to God. Only Jesus can get you to God. I know, and I've never been a Catholic, but I've read about some of the things they do. And for example, the confessional. You go in that little booth and he's over there where you don't see him. And it's good that you don't, probably. But he's in that other room and he don't necessarily see you. But you forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. And you say, by the way, he can't forgive you. And what does it matter if he says you're all right? God don't say you're all right. Another one of the quotes that I read this week, and I wish I remembered. It'll come to me. It says, those in hell are not helped at all by the preacher that preaches their funeral and declares they're in heaven. It don't help them. But for that priest to say, I forgive you, and you're telling him your troubles, and here's the truth. He may have the same lusts. He may have the same sin. He may even have worse than you got. Because he's a frail human being. But I'm glad I've got a heavenly Father. I can go to him through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is sinless, harmless and sinless. Amen. Undefiled, thank God. And he is helpful to us when we come to him. Amen. No statue. Let's stand to our feet. No statue, no idol. No icon, no priest, no religious ritual, no relic can mediate between God and man. Only the man, Christ Jesus, can mediate between God and man. You know what he says? What you need is a Savior. And Jesus is the only Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God we've tried to preach. And Lord, I look at it as how it was written. This wasn't written to unbelievers. It was written to believers, but it's to affirm us in our belief. Confirm us in our belief. Help us, dear God, to be affirmed and confirmed. Help us to be strengthened in our faith. To not lean on a weak man, but to lean only on the Lord Jesus Christ. To trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory and honor. Lord, I pray work in this invitation. If there's those that need to be saved, Lord, I pray today be the day they'd come to God by this man who's able to save them to the uttermost. Lord, I pray they'll come through the Lord Jesus and be saved by the good grace of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.